Hey everyone, today's episode features two of my partners, David Marino and Mike Mamola, and the three of us had a pleasure of interviewing John Foley, the former solo pilot of the Blue Angels, the greatest flying crew in the world, and we're going to talk about focus and being one with the universe. Don't forget to come and join me on Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time for my free trainings. You can text me anytime at 949-298-2905 or email me at david@dmeltzer.com. Of course, you can just visit dmeltzer.com/training to register for my free Friday trainings. This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook. We got the famous Blue Angel coming on now. This is going to be good. I'm a Buckeye myself, so Dayton, Ohio was very close to where I grew up in Akron. My grandparents were in Dayton. The Blue Angels, I probably have seen not only because Ohio, but also Miramar San Diego since I was nine. I got to start off with my leadoff question because I've always wondered this. I believe in focus. I believe in that when you have clarity, balance, but focus. I don't know any athlete in the world that's more focused than a Blue Angel pilot, because there is less. Danica Patrick's a good friend of mine, and I about the margin of error when you're driving an Indy car, but can you imagine the margin of error when you're flying for the Blue Angels? How do you stay so focused?
Well, first off, thanks for having me on this show. I'm glad to be here, man. You guys are awesome. David, big fan of yours, especially the last couple of days, what you've been doing. So thank you. Let me ask you a question back. How close do you think we fly? Blue Angels, how close?
At what speed first?
500 knots. 500 knots. It's about 600 miles per hour.
So wingtip to wingtip?
Actually, great question. We're actually tucked underneath. So here's my glass canopy, and X feet away, the wingtip of the other jet. You're underneath them.
Oh, wow. I've seen them, but I'm 52, so I've seen them for at least 43 years. I would say, are you 20 yards?
No, man, much closer. Okay, David.
No way.
You guess. Come on.
I'd say 6 feet.
It's even less.
Wow.
So do this. Here's what I want you to do. Just reach out your arm right now to whatever screen you're looking at, okay?
I got a long wingspan, man.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Marino's right. Plane is a lot further than mine.
Yeah, right there at the end of those fingertips, right? A 22-ton jet going 500 knots. We are one arm length away, 18 inches.
Wow.
One of my arm lengths, not Dave's. Dave's 24 inches.
So back to your question.
18 inches.
Well, we usually fly at 36 feet, right? That's our normal. But we get down to 18. Yeah, I love your eyes. That's what's cool is when excellence is normal, right? When the exceptional becomes normal. But to answer your question, it absolutely focus is the key. And that doesn't just happen. You know, you train yourself to get to that level of focus. Our briefings before we go flying, and I've got so much cool video I'll share with you sometime, where you're in the briefing room and we're using that power of visualization and we're flying, you know, like an athlete, like a business person, right? But you actually are not just flying the show. We're going through the voice calls at the exact tone that the boss is going to have. I'm squeezing the stick. I'm feeling the G forces, by the way, like about 7.2 Gs, you know, 400 knots upside down. But you get into a state and you practice it to a point when I jump into that cockpit and that canopy comes down, it's called a trigger. You all know triggers, right? Canopy comes down, bam, I'm locked into a zone. And for the next 45 minutes, you know, I am 100% focused. But I will tell you, you go in and out, you know, the human brain, you expand, you come in, you expand, come in, you know, 65 chances a second, by the way. Mm-hmm. And you learn how to do that. To where when I'm flying upside down, I can actually see the cracks on the paint of the airplane.
Wow. That's awesome. John, I've got a question for you. So first off, awesome stuff. Love the energy. Only someone as dialed in as you can even do this, which I love. But teaching high performance and speaking on that, that's an amazing topic. And it's got so many appliances to so many different people. It's a useful thing. What is the number one paramount trait that you need to hammer into someone as you're speaking to them about high performance and staying focused?
It's exactly what you guys are talking about all the time, Dave. It's gratefulness and gratitude. It's about glad to be here. You see, most people jump into things like trust and teamwork and execution and focus and belief levels. Well, I talk about all that, but the number one trait is you have to wrap what I call this glad to be here mindset into the way you live your life. And to me, that's the combination of operational excellence. So you got to be on your game, but with a mindset of being grateful. And when you're in that zone, it changes everything. It changes your performance, but more importantly, it changes the way you see the world, because the world's coming from us, not at us. And once you grasp that, bam.
John, when you, amazing stuff. I was just having this conversation. I went to get a physical yesterday, just my annual, and I was talking to my doctor. He's a pilot, and he was talking about the Blue Angels, and just everybody wants to be one, right? So you have the coolest job ever. Once you get to that mindset, so I work with some fighters and things, and they get to that level of focus, hyper-focused and ability, where and how, if ever, does fear try to creep into that, and how do you keep it out with, you know, the mindset to stay where you need to be, so that things, when you're seeing the cracks on the paint at 500 miles an hour or whatever you're doing, how do you keep it out?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just flying a jet next to another jet. It's what we're all going through right now. Corona, what we're seeing on the social unrest, you know, there's a lot of fear out there, right? So the way that I handle that is what I call being scared, but not afraid. And I'll give you an example. Yeah, you got it. You just got it with the aha, right? I'm okay being scared. I'm scared all the time. Scared is good. Scared's awareness. You know, I just got goosebumps because scared's where the little hairs stand up on the back of your neck. You know, scared says, yeah, I better be prepared. You know, scared says, let's make some positive change in the world, because what we're seeing out there is we got to fix it, right? And I think that's good because it requires action, right? So I am scared all the time, but I'm never fearful, never afraid, because fear will cause stuckness. And heck, you can see it. Right. You can see it in our nation right now. You can see it in teams. You can see it in your own life. Let's be honest. Look at yourself. When you're stuck, it's because of fear. So I'm okay with being scared. Heck, man, I like being scared. It's where you're walking into those uncomfortable states. But be smart, because it's easy to kill yourself. It's easy to be stupid. It's easy to run yourself out of money in a business. You know, so what really is critical is, how do you push the limit? We call it flying the envelope, right? How do you get to the very edge? How do you stay on that edge? That's the technique. That's what's challenging.
I got two
incredible
two quick questions. One is an easy answer. What do you do if you have to sneeze?
You know, you don't. And watch this. You just don't. When you're that hyper state of focus, when you're in that level and you know what's going to happen, and by the way, you become one with the airplane, you actually become one with your teammates. It's a sense of oneness that expands, right? But when you're at that level, your mind overcomes the sense to sneeze. But so I've never had a hat to at that. Now, here's the other thing. When I'm backing out, when I'm in loose, now my mind's a little bit more unfocused, and then it can happen. So we did have procedures, though, if you had an issue. Let's say you got something in your eye, or the airplane caught on fire. Because guess what? I don't care. It could be radical or it could be something simple. I call up Gucci's Clear, and we had a procedure to back out, and then you deal with it.
Oh, wow. All right. Real question now. So I'm a frequency vibration person, and you've touched upon the subject of awareness and oneness, which the highest level to me of awareness is when we're at one, right? One with the source and one with everything else. And that's what I'm trying to teach people in these compressed times of uncertainty, because I meditate, which I'm sure you guys practice as well through breathing and other things. But I would love to see and hear your perspective on how this philosophy of mine of elevating your vibration, your frequency, your awareness, so that you actually feel as if you're one with the plane, one with the other pilots, one with the sky, and there becomes no separation, no need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, no need for fear. Because to me, that's how you can exist. When I'm at one, when I have my highest frequency, that's when I feel no fear. I could be afraid, I could be scared, but like you said, but I have no fear. I am in complete oneness. Explain to me how you train that awareness, because I don't think anyone more than the Blue Angels are so aware. When you said I'm one with the plane, one with the party, they go, oh my God, he gets awareness.
Yeah, 100%. So Dave, you'll love this. So when I was a Blue Angel and I trained for, and I'll go through that process for you real quick. I was not aware of what you're talking about. And then since then, man, I've been on a quest of wisdom, right? So I meditate every day. I definitely have a gratitude practice. You know, how do you get yourself into a state of mind so that you can turn it on like that? It's powerful. So in the team, when I was on the Blues, you get to this state of oneness, just like you talk about all the time. It's a gradual approach. It's one step after another. It's practice. It's training. It's absolutely, we did 120 training flights before we ever flew our first flight in front of a crowd. So when you talked about preparing for your talk, you just did the same thing, right? And you build it, and you build it through trust, right? Now, having said that, I can tell you what it felt like. When I was in that jet, when you're first learning, okay, and I, by the way, I got to fly a lot of people in my back seat, Merlin Olsen, Ronnie Lott, all kinds of Steve Largent. And we got tons of stories to tell about them. By the way, knocked them out, which that wasn't that hard to do.
Touching them.
Yeah, you make it fun, right? But the key is you're the first time you strap into that cockpit, I'm telling you, there's 32,000 pounds of thrust. It's this massive machine, all right? Afterburners, you don't feel like you're part of that machine. You're just trying to stay alive. You're just trying to, what are my procedures? Don't screw this up kind of thing. And then as you get more hours and as you get more focused, what happens is, oh, right, what's your son's name, by the way?
Miles?
My guy, Miles.
Hey, Miles, check this out. So this is my Blue Angel helmet, okay?
You know Blue Angel, Miles?
Couple cool parts about this helmet. See that visor? Gold. Uh-huh. Gold-plated, okay? Because it's like the astronauts wear, right? Because you can look directly in the light and not blink, right? And here's what's on the back. See that crest? Okay, you got to earn that crest. You can't wear it until your teammates tell you you've earned it, you know? And then what's this little name under there? Anybody read it?
The Gucci.
Gucci.
Yeah. Gucci.
Okay, that's the call sign.
I thought that was the people that were watching. Never mind.
Love it. So real quick, the key on call signs, you don't get to pick them, and if you like them, they don't stick. Okay. Because no fighter pilot wants to be called Gucci, man. You want to be Hitman, Viper, Iceman, something right. Cool, right?
We'll be your name. We'll be your call name.
I don't know.
You don't know? All right. He wanted to say hi to everybody.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. Hey, I got some cool videos you want to see. We'll get you some of flying in the.
We're going to have you back on the playbook too. So we got more time. So let's get some more questions. Sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, let's finish on the oneness real quick. Yeah. I think it's key. So, you get to a state where you actually become one with the airplane. And that's where you when I'm turning left, I'm not thinking left stick, rudder, throttles. It's just one. But here's what's really cool, Dave, is when it goes beyond that. See, when you actually get beyond the 32 feet of the wingspan of the jet, and you also become one with six other individuals, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're in a piece of sky, and you probably felt this on teams at some point in your life where you are so connected with somebody that there's no communication verbally that has to happen. It's a nonverbal communication. You're in sync. And here's what I've learned though. And Dave, it's how do you train that in your normal life?
Yeah.
How do you cause I can do that in the high performance way. That's great. But what I want to do, and by the way, one of my passions and we're so much alike is to inspire a billion people. All right. But to live life in all its fullness. Okay. It's not about me flying anymore. I don't care. I want to share those stories with others so that they can benefit. And that's why I got a meditation practice. I got a wake up practice of getting energy flow going. I've got this ability to really learn and study. How do you turn on focus? How long can you sustain it? Most people can't sustain it for 8 seconds, let alone for what I was talking about. So you're on to something.
You're on to something. And this is awesome.
Yeah, that's really, really great stuff. I was thinking about Dave when you made the team analogy, him being a defensive back and being on an island and all those stories I heard of some of the guys you matched up against, a little different than, being an offensive lineman and looking at your guys next to you. But, I want to go back, John, because I think you touched on something really, really important to all of the EMs here, which is gratitude. It's a common bond that we have. It's a common bond that a lot of successful people that I see have. I know gratitude is always about perspective, right? You can be the wealthiest man in the world and feel like you have nothing. So how do you help somebody identify their gratitude? Right? How do you teach that? Because that's not something you can really teach someone else. How do you help someone find their something to be grateful for?
Well, I'll do it with you right now. When you woke up this morning, give me three things that you're grateful for right now in your life.
My ability to make an impact in other people's lives.
Love it.
My health.
Yep.
And the health of the people I love.
Beautiful. So here's what I do. Every morning when I wake up, I've trained my brain to wake up happy. All right. I trained it by doing this gratitude practice. Every morning when I wake up, I just say, what am I grateful for? And it's exactly what you just did. You could always find something. Sometimes you're just glad to be alive, right? Just be glad to be breathing, right? Like, I like this isolation. I get to wake up with my wife more. I've been on the road so much. I'm on the road over 300 days a year. It's like crazy, right? So, but
you like it, but she doesn't.
Yeah, well, you know, there's some truth to that.
I'm speaking from experience.
I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. What's cool, David, is it's not just in the moment. What I've learned is if you go back, okay, go back 24 hours and just remember something that happened yesterday. And I think about people's faces, you know, just a smile, just some impact that you made. And I burn those back into my brain. And then I go forward in my day and I say, what's going to happen? And I use my schedule. Like, you guys were the first thing that hit my mind when I woke up this morning, because I said, you know, I'm going to get the rare privilege to be on Dave's show. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity. Right. So, but it turns out, and you guys know this, is that if you do that repetition, you'll change the neuroplasticity of your brain. And you then start to wake up happy. So that's why it's so critical in these times of change that we're all going through, is to focus on gratitude, focus on what is powerful in our life, and be that beacon of light for others. And that's why I'm just grateful for what you guys are doing.
John, I think that's amazing. You know, what you were saying, you just, you know, made me realize that so much of what you do, or what you did as a pilot for the Blue Angels, is analogous to being an entrepreneur, for example, right? It's the takeoff, the lift off, you're pinned in your seat, you can't move. And then eventually you get up on plane, right? And it starts to get a little easier until you make a turn. And then again, you're whipped into your seat and you have to constantly adjust. So the importance of meditation and gratitude. Talk to me about the importance of having that ability, because you can't react when the moment happens, when it occurs, right? You have to already have it ready to go for when it happens. So talk to me about, you said gratitude, some of the other things you do to have that ready to go when something strikes.
Yeah, so I'm constantly adapting to change. As an entrepreneur, as a, you know, hey, we repivoted our whole business in the last 2 months, like most of us, right? Okay, so you're absolutely adapting. What I learned on the Blues is, have a plan though. Don't just wing it, right? So we actually, as much as we could, we thought about, okay, well, what can't we control? You know, control the controllables, but what can't we control? Well, weather, okay? I can't control the weather. Sometimes I'm over land, sometimes I'm over water, sometimes the weather's good, sometimes the weather's bad. So I gotta have some contingency plans. So we had basically three, keep it simple: high show, low show, flat show. So depending on the cloud ceilings, I could adapt airborne in a second, okay? Because once I made the decision that we needed to change, I already had a plan. Now, sometimes, you don't have that, right? And so what you have to train your mind to do is perceptions. How do I perceive the world, all right? Am I perceiving the world as half empty or half full, right? And I know that gratitude, and by the way, generosity. So gratitude changes it, the area of your brain that lights up when you're in a grateful state of mind is the same area of your brain where perceptions come from. So, you know, how we see the world actually comes from us, right? But here's what's interesting. When you're in a generous state of mind, okay, that comes from the same area of your brain where self-esteem, where confidence comes from. So link those two real quick. When you're in a grateful state of mind and a generous state of mind, you see things others don't see, and you have the confidence to take action. That's being an entrepreneur. That's innovation. That's the same goodness.
Great stuff.
I love it. I can't think of a better. You got to come back and join me on the playbook, John. This has been, there's always like that shining light. All our guests are extraordinary, but dude, you bring it. You bring great energy. You bring great wisdom, experience, exciting stories as well. I purposely made Mike Mamula's audio sound like a cockpit. So we all felt like we were, you know,
super. Did it sound that bad?
Hey, Dave, no, it sounds like a cockpit.
Dave, I got one thing for you. So this morning, when I was doing my Glad Beer wake up, I was I do it with my wife. By the way, it's nice if you do it with somebody else. You can do it by yourself, but it's nice, even better, to do someone else. And I mentioned that I'd be on your show, and she goes, "Well, tell me about this guy." And instead of all the great stuff you did, I talked about the foundation, the Unstoppable Foundation, and I said, "You know, this is what he does." And she goes, "Really?" And I said, yeah. And she goes, well, you know, we have this Glad to Be Here Foundation. I give 10% of all my fees to charity. I let the clients pick where that goes, right? And so I want to offer to you all a $2,500 matching grant for whoever, you know, whatever you need to use it for, because you're doing great work out there. We love you. You guys are making a difference. Please keep this up, man.
You're amazing, man. We're going to have you back. I appreciate that. You are unstoppable. The energy you bring, the light you have instilled in us and others. I can't wait to replay this for everyone. So thank you, John, for joining us.
Hey, podcast listeners. Thank you for listening, as always, to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.